So we left off with divine thanksgiving and the fact that it's different. It's got a couple of things about it that are very unique in the fact that, I don't know if my mic's on, but is it good? Okay. It's unique in the fact that it's lasting, it's permanent. And it's something that doesn't go away, not because necessarily we decide to have the Thanksgiving. Remember, the permanence or the lasting part of anything we do in the spiritual life is always dependent on God Himself. So even though we may lose that Thanksgiving because we, you know, make a bad decision or some reason get off track, the source of it is still there. So that's how you can keep and maintain this, because you keep going back to the source. It's going to keep giving. It's not going to go away. It's not going to move away like the person you know who kept always giving you all these wonderful things. It's always there. So that's the point I was trying to make, and I hope that came across. And that's why we got into stability in the Christian way of life. And part of this thanksgiving means that you are in tune with your spiritual life and you become occupied with the giver. And that's why we're here. We could say we're all becoming occupied with the giver. And all that means is we want to learn about Him, want to grow in that relationship with Him. And we want to know what He wants us to know. We want to know how to live. And part of that means just spending time with Him. And that's His Word. That's what we do. That's how we spend time with Him, by learning more about Him, so we can figure out, hey, if He wants me to do something one way or another, we have to figure all that out. And He gives us His Word just for that reason. That was a capital G in the giver, by the way. Occupied with the giver. And, you know, thanksgiving is a thing that it's always there. It's available. If you're not thankful, you need to check yourself. You need to think about it for a little bit, because you're a Christian. You have so much more available to you than anyone has on this earth. And the fact that we do have that is just... It'll stop you in your tracks if you think about the things that we have available to us, or even how it's changed your life over the course of years or months even. You know, it's amazing what it can do. It's the only word, remember, it's living, that can change you the way it does. And you've seen it change you. You've seen it change people around you. And that's something to be thankful for. So... And God's policy, we mentioned this, is always grace, and His policy is always perfect. It's always perfect. See, the holdup is always on our end. I know some of you don't think so sometimes. Oh, God, come on, where are you at? No, the holdup is always on our end. And it's usually a spiritual issue. If we're wondering, waiting, reaching, frustrated, worry. See, that goes back to the spiritual department. Not to the fact that we're what we want or don't want. That's a request. Remember, that was part of the solution here, is making that known, what you're requesting, known to God. And then leaving it alone. And if you include that with the attitude of thanksgiving, as we're seeing, and I think this is really giving us two options here. Because this is combining the thanksgiving in the prayer. But if you live your life with thanksgiving, imagine how many problems you can bypass just by having an attitude of thanksgiving before you get to the shop on worry. Because worry's waiting, knocking at the door. There's 1,000 things to worry about if we just pick one. But the thing about it is, if you have thanksgiving, you're not worried. You can't have thanksgiving and be worried in a biblical sense. They just don't go together. Can't happen. So God knows when you need it, where you need it, how you need it, And so whether it be blessings, suffering for those blessings, or just plain discipline, all those things have a purpose and meaning, and they all have proper timing in your life. And that proper timing is so detailed that it goes down to the millisecond, even less. So not that it didn't happen or it did happen. This is about staying in tune with what God wants. Remember His will? His will includes, a big part of it includes timing. And whether we are have enough humility to see that timing, and more importantly here, is the thanksgiving to be relaxed and to appreciate His timing. That will allow you to see what's happening in your life and to realize that, no, He is working this situation out. And it, I just may need to grow up a little more spiritually. So if you're not thankful, well, I would encourage you to keep growing until you are. Because you will be. Remember, that's the only direction to go on that. When you recognize the grace of God and what He's doing. And we could start at the foundation and we can work our way up. But all I can guarantee you is that it will happen in your soul. That's a soul thing. That's a soul issue there. And that depends on what your understanding on where everything we have comes from. The grace of God. So we also have thanksgiving here in, according to Psalm 116:17, in sacrifice. Sacrifice. Psalm 116:17 says, "To you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord." Now we know this is more than likely a physical sacrifice of an animal in the Old Testament sense, but at the same time, we live in the church age. We're not going to sacrifice an animal, but we are going to do is offer up spiritual sacrifices, as the Word tells us, as Christians do in your life. Believe it or not, that is a form of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. It's sacrificing maybe something that you might want, or yourself, your flesh, versus allowing the plan of God to take that. And see, there's an obedience aspect that comes into that. We could lee-dee-da-dee-da, go through life without any sacrifices. A lot of people do that. And that's not the Christian way of life either, because the more you realize, the more you go down and your eyes are open to God's grace, you want to sacrifice for Him. You want to serve Him. Because what did He do for us? Well, I want to give back. I want to serve. I'm here on His bill. I'm here from His grace, and I just want to be a part of that. So you want to serve. 1 Peter 2:5 says, "You also, as living stones," this is referring to church age, "are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So a spiritual sacrifice is motivated by a desire to serve and glorify God. That's the bottom line. To serve the giver instead of ourselves. And that's by nature. That's by nature that it becomes a sacrifice, is because we have a sin nature. We have a fallen state. So it has to be a sacrifice, unless there's no, that there's a barrier there, is what I mean. There's a barrier between yourself, your carnal self, and the spiritual life. In the middle, there's sacrifice. And we've got to bridge that gap by growing and a wanting to serve God. So by nature, you sacrifice is there in the Christian way of life because of our fallen state. But then you have to question, is it really a sacrifice? You know, that's a word that we use, but is it really a sacrifice when the value, the gain, the love behind the sacrifice is worth so much more than the actual sacrifice? I don't think it really is a sacrifice. even though we may physically feel it to be a sacrifice, I'm referring to the spiritual repercussions behind the actual sacrifice in your life. See, to you it may be a sacrifice, but the benefits that are occurring to people around you, to your spiritual growth being promoted, and also the blessings that are possible in your life because of that sacrifice, I mean, is it a sacrifice? You got to ask yourself that. It sounds like a benefit to be able to sacrifice in our lives, to be able to serve and be obedient. Sounds like a benefit to me. And through all of our spiritual sacrifices is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. That's why, one of the reasons why sacrifice is there. So we can, that's coming from your soul. That's a soul attitude from within you, wanting to sacrifice. And that's why as you grow up, you become more and more focused and dedicated in your service to God. That's just soul appreciation right there. That soul appreciation, you can see that movement as you go forward. Your soul is more appreciative of what God is doing in your life. A lot of times we're numb to that starting out. There's nothing wrong with that. That's normal. But as we move forward, we become more receptive. We become more sensitive because it's very powerful. It's not this something that we do and we go through life and we go through the motions. No, things change. This is a mental process and God controls the physical. So we have things going on in both directions that we can see, and we have to take note of these things. Soul appreciation, and that's, what is that? Worship of God. So the word offer, where it says to offer up spiritual sacrifices, means to cause, to move from a lower position to a higher, to take, to lead, to bring up. So part of stress and worry must include a spiritual sacrifice. Has to. It has to. This falls in that category because placing that worry on the altar in faith is a spiritual sacrifice. It may not be what you're ingrained to do, though. See what I mean? We're more built, or we're born into, to let that worry just sit there. We're born into that sin nature that wants us to take that worry and dwell on it. But this says to offer it. It means moving God's desire to a higher position and the worry to a lower position. That's what you're doing when you're sacrificing something. You're moving God's desire on your priority list to a little bit higher or infinitely higher than whatever it is you're worrying about. Because we can easily put that on the top of our list very quickly. And that'll take up a lot of your time as well. So that position is important. You've zeroed in on it and you are ready to give the worry to God. And if you do, then you are no longer worrying as your flesh would dictate to you, but instead sacrificing that flesh so that God is glorified. And that's what the sacrifice is all about. You will continually sacrifice things as you move forward in life, in the spiritual life. Carnal and spiritual are mutually exclusive, but that's what we consist of. But God has provided a means to bridge that gap through Christ. And that includes sacrifice, or benefit, if you want to call it that. The opportunity to offer sacrifices, I can put it like that. It involves giving up of something. And even though it's giving up of something that is not good for you, it's still a sacrifice by faith. See, you're actually doing something to benefit you. You're giving up that worry. But that's the sacrifice. That's the part that sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that we hold on to that and the problem's just too big. I'm going to have to worry about this one because everything's crumbling. What I'm seeing is showing me otherwise. It's not looking good. Well, there you go. Where's the sacrifice come into that? Where's your faith? Where's the obedience? How big is the problem? Is it too big for God? He just talked about moving mountains with faith. That was an illustration that he wasn't joking about. Now, I'm not telling you to go pray and move a mountain. But Jesus Christ is making a very serious point. He's showing us that we have the power of God at our fingertips. That's what he's trying to tell us. He's saying, you've got this little bitty problem that you're worried about, and then you have me. Now, do you want to take some notes on which one is more important and more powerful? It's like a no-brainer sometimes when we think about it. But that's how we operate. We'll see something and we'll take it and we'll worry. We'll worry and it'll ruin your day, it'll ruin your week, and it'll ruin years of your life because we sit there and worry about something that isn't even worth your time. It's not even worth your time. See, all it did was get you off track. So you need to think about that benefit to yourself. See, there's an underlying benefit here that you seek to serve, but the result of serving is nothing but benefit to yourselves. I can't tell you that enough. What you're doing may seem like work, may seem arduous, may seem hard, may seem, you know, this is a rough life, but it is benefit to you. You function differently in life than other people do. You don't want to have an easy life and get to heaven with nothing. You are packing your bags. We're talking about a way to live life with contentment in your soul. Not going through life and necessarily enjoying the temporal and not having anything in your soul. Remember, God is paying you close attention just for that reason. It's meant to be hard. It's meant to be a challenge. We don't lift weights just to lift weights or run just to run or practice just to practice. There's a reason behind why you do what you do. It's because it's making you a better Christian to serve because you're allowing God to work on your behalf. So what has to happen if God is going to work on your behalf? The pressure is going to have to get serious. Because if God trusts you with His Word, He's going to trust you in giving you a big problem. Big problems. See, they're not really big, are they? Because you can handle it. God knows you can handle it. So He's going to give them to you. He's going to give you these problems. He's going to say, here, you know what? I'm going to show you that not only can you do it, but you're going to watch me do it. Isn't that what He did with Job? Satan said, hey, what about this guy? Proved him wrong. That's what we do. We prove Satan wrong time and time and time again because not because of what I can do, it's because of what God can do through you. Through you. That's that pipe. Remember the faith, the aspect of help, asking for that help and trusting in God with the problem. So, and when you trust in God with your life, you can't help but be thankful. Can't help it. No way to do it. Because you're sitting in the stands. You're actually bought the ticket, or the ticket was purchased for you, and you're watching. You're in the stadium watching the arena, and it's your problem. You're in the problem that God has given you the test, the difficulty, but you can sit back and watch God work on your behalf. That's moving a mountain right there. Because you can't change the way that person thinks. You can't change the way that person thinks. You can't make the situation the way you want it to go. But guess who can? And He will. And it'll go just in His direction. And if you're in tune with that one God that I'm referring to that makes everything go round, boy, you have something going. Because that lowers the worry gauge to negative, is what that does. So if you've ever been on, you know, any kind of project, working with someone else, or maybe with a son, daughter, family member, or something that involves, they had to step away. Maybe they had to step away, they had to leave, and there was something involved with that project, or you're doing something that you knew they really would enjoy doing. So you left it for them for when they got back because you knew they would just love to do that part. You ever done that? We've all been there. And, you know, that kind of reminded me of this. You could have just went ahead and just did it yourself. You could have, but you took them into consideration is what you did. And when you take someone into account in your thinking, then you appreciate them because you love them enough to think about them. You are thinking about them in a way that is very unique, right? Isn't that what we do with utilizing God's divine resources? We think about Him. We spend time with Him. We want to take advantage of all the grace that He's given us. It's a thought, is all it is. It's you living your life with not necessarily any human help, although we do have that too, but it's thinking along the lines of something that you don't see. And that involves a love relationship with Jesus Christ and His Word. The more you relate to Him, the more you are able to think about Him, think about His Word, think about what He's done in your life, and think about everything that He does for you on a daily basis. Daily. This is more than we can ever think of. So it's no different with God. It's just we have to think about Him because He desires that we give Him all of our worries and anxiety because He's the one who enjoys taking care of us. He not only enjoys it, but He's satisfied when He is glorified. And He enjoys being entrusted with those problems. Here, you take it. That's what He wants. That's the kind of faith that He wants. He wants it on a platter. He doesn't want your hand still attached to it. He doesn't want you to tie a string to it and so you can pull it back. He wants it to give it to Him and leave it there. Just leave it. If you're going to have any acceptable sacrifice, it must be done according to John 4:24. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Never forget that. That takes the cleansing of sin, the power of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 4:7. Oh, I had that one for you. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, and the peace of God. So the Greek is making this very clear that this is a very special kind of peace. This is different. This is a special kind of peace. First, we have an article in front of the peace, which what the article has a lot of functions. But two of the functions that I wanted to refer to is that one of is that it brings attention to what the word. It brings attention to a word. It puts emphasis on it, and it identifies it as something very unique. And that's what it's doing here. It has an article in front of this piece. So it's calling attention and it's distinguishing it as unique. And, you know, we hear that. Okay. It's even green. It's green peace. Wow. But, you know, what I mean by unique is that there is nothing else to compare it to. There's nothing else like it. There's nothing else that we can substitute to get this peace to replace the worry. These verses are bringing up the fact that the result of you handing over the platter. This is what this is, where we're going with this. So, of course, this uniqueness can be clearly seen in the genitive case because look who it belongs to, of God. If it wasn't clear enough in the word peace and in the article, it is of God. So that should tell us. So that's showing possession. This is a peace that is of God. It originates from Him. It's one of His attributes. Peace. This is a divine peace. So most of us know, you know, there really is no substitute for the Word of God. We know that. You know, we know that, but we tend to live sometimes a little differently. We know there's no substitutes, but think about all the ways we try to alleviate stress and worry by attempting to substitute everything else but the peace of God. We do. We substitute anything and everything besides what we're talking about here, faith, and allowing God to handle the problem, don't we? And I just looked up some of these just to so you I could check off your boxes. Exercise, laughter. This is what they recommend. This is what you might hear from a secular counselor maybe that might tell you how to relieve stress. Listen to music. Alcohol, tobacco, drugs. That includes both illegal and legal. Eating certain kinds of food. Breathing, stretching, stress ball. Take a nap. Be alone. Get organized. Yoga. Eat some chocolate. Cuddle. I don't know if that's good, but it's not relaxing. Cuddle with a pet. Chew gum. Sip green tea. Honey. Talk to a friend. Make time for leisure activities. And one of the ones just kept coming up on various sources that I thought was interesting and pertinent to our study is express gratitude. Express gratitude. This is coming from not biblical sources. This is coming from secular sources that are have no spiritual value in them at all. And they say express gratitude. So there's a few things that I wanted to say as I read through this. Because think about how this relates to you. By the way, none of these are necessarily bad. I actually wanted to try some of these because some of them sound pretty good. Another one that I didn't put on here was to take a golf ball and roll it around under your foot. That sounds like it'd feel pretty good. I hadn't tried that one yet, but I will. So, but express gratitude relates to us because we've been talking about Thanksgiving. But they're talking about in the secular sense, right? And think about how much more we have available in the biblical Thanksgiving from the grace and constant pushing of God's grace. So as I read through this, this is what they say about gratefulness. But relate it to your spiritual life. Because it makes it so much more meaningful than just being an unbeliever and hearing about gratitude. Okay? It says, gratitude helps you recognize all the things you have to be thankful for. Whether you're grateful for a sunny day or thankful you arrived at work safely, think about all the good things you have in life. Okay. We'll see you next counselor visit. Have a good day. No, I'm joking. You see, get the point though. We can do that too. That's not just a secular idea. It has ideas in spiritual life too. Gratitude also reminds you of all the resources you have to cope with stress, which can be quite empowering. Now, we've talked about the source, solution. They probably wouldn't believe me if I wrote them an email and said, hey, I found the source. But we know it's true. It just requires a foundation. It requires a structure of spiritual growth to come to fruition in your life. But when they say empowering, how about the power we have? Not just this list of 20-something items I went through. Those may be empowering to some people, but they're all temporary. And that's what I was talking about earlier. We take these things and we say, okay, this is normal, and I'm just going to sip my green tea every day because I know it's not going to go away. We can't get there. Can't do that. Because remember, it's not normal. Here's what else they say about it. Being grateful. Studies also show grateful people enjoy better mental health, lower stress, and a better quality of life. So whether you decide to make it a habit to identify what you're grateful for as you sit around the dinner table, or you decide to write down three things you're grateful for in a gratitude journal every day, make gratitude a regular habit. Now, I'm not recommending you necessarily keep a gratitude journal, though that may not be a bad idea either. But all I'm saying is that there is a recommendation on that side too that says make it a regular habit. The Word of God allows us to do just that because it's up here. It is a habit. It's a thought process that we grow into. And that's awesome because it's not something that we have to set on the calendar, a reminder, be thankful. No, this is something that is automatic, and it comes from the Word of God. So a couple other things that jumped out at me, or here's a few other things that they say. One way to handle stress is to write things down. While recording what you're stressed about is one approach, another is jotting down what you're grateful for. And then this last one I underlined, it says, gratitude may help relieve stress and anxiety by focusing your thoughts on what's positive in your life. Isn't that the root, the underlying, analysis of what thankfulness is? It's all positive. It's all positive. When you are thankful, your entire outlook is positive. You're thankful about everything. So there's not anything wrong with any of these, as I said, but we need to note that all these things that I listed are temporary, so you can easily be distracted by worry and then just double down on this temporary relieving the worry. But it does blind you to the real solution sometimes, because it's not something that you just have and you can't get rid of. No, that's not true. Don't tell yourself that. Just because you've been having this issue day in and day out, get rid of it. Zero in on it and give it to God. Give Him the problem. Because think about it. These things may temporarily have some resolution in them. They may. They do. They temporarily relieve work, right? But the problem is you haven't really solved the problem. You haven't solved the problem. You didn't do a proper, cause analysis. So you haven't solved the problem. But if you continue to pursue the temporary relief as if it were the only answer, well then, what are you doing? It's kind of an endless circle, right? So this point needs to be made that this is a spiritual problem and it must be solved with a spiritual solution. And we bring that up time and time again on various things. Worry is no different. If you know someone that is a worrier, spiritual problem. Not what's going on in their life. It's a spiritual problem. Just as it is in mine, just as it is in yours. It always goes back to the spiritual. Always. It goes back to our reliance on God. It goes back to how much we're trusting Him with the circumstances. That's what it goes back to. Always a spiritual problem must be solved with a spiritual solution, not the temporary. Although the golf ball sounds like it might work pretty good. I was looking for a golf ball the other day. Couldn't find one, though. So, and you know, when we apply this positive outlook in what we're grateful for, what to focus your thoughts on, I mean, this is coming from, remember, not a spiritual standpoint, but what we have to be thankful for, think about the positive aspects of God and the spiritual life. That's positive. That's encouraging. That'll make you want to jump out of bed in the morning. Maybe not, but it'll make you want to get out of bed in the morning, right? Instead of just the golf ball. I mean, it's not going to cut it. After a while, the golf ball it might temporarily relieve you, but it's not going to make you want to go. It's not going to encourage you in your life. It's not going to provide thanksgiving when you're in a problem. When you're suffering, you're not going to have that internal joy. Those things aren't going to do it. They're just not going to do it. So a positive outlook on life, that's what we have available to us through thanksgiving and the grace of God. So one of the differences that between the secular or human thanksgiving is that there can never be a consistent positive flow. There can't be. That's why they're so distracting. Because we get temporary relief from these things, and then they're gone. But they're never consistent, and they're never, you know, nonstop. But our spiritual life is. God is. He is always there, always waiting, never sleeping, always waiting on us to get to where we need to be, per se, on leaning on Him. So that's why in our case, this becomes such an important issue, because we have that consistent, positive flow of God's grace. So you can always be positive in this way. Because, you know, God's grace that is always positive and perfect, that's what we're referring to here. And how many of us have needed this positive outlook on life? Every single one of us. It's there. It's available. It's what we have available to us. We're here. We're alive. We're growing. God gave you the ability to have a heart that allows your blood to flow, and you walk, you breathe, you talk, and you live the spiritual life. That's a reason to be happy, to be thankful, at least. If you can't be happy, be thankful. You're going to be happy. If you're thankful, you will be happy. Because remember, what that thanksgiving is backed by is nothing but positive. We have everything in place that we need to have this. And really, the reality is that, you know, if we have the level of spiritual growth, we have absolutely no reason to be negative. None. I'll say that to myself. I have no reason to be negative. None at all. There's really no excuse for negativity in our lives, whether it be in our personal life, whether it be in our family life, our church life. There really is no room for negativity. There's none. Because what we're talking about is we're talking about the spiritual realm now. I've moved out of the temporary things, the list. Those may break down on you. They may not be there. They may be there. That's a reason to be negative. But we're not talking about the temporary anymore. So just as He provided us with the options to give the negative things like worry to Him and be thankful, this is what He does. He gives us the option to take these negative things and give them to Him, because He's got the positive on His side. So look at the Word. One of a kind piece here that He's made available to us. And that's another reason to be thankful. The word is erene. It's a noun, and it means, it's an interesting word. It means to join, to tie together into a whole. It means wholeness. It means when all the essential parts are joined together, this is peace, God's gift of wholeness. Think about that, the peace that this is referring to. This means you're complete. You don't need anything. You don't actually want anything. You're not discontent. You're not unhappy. You're not groaning. You're not reaching. You're not... See what wholeness is? You are absolutely content. Why? Because you've allowed God to work the circumstances in your life. That's true contentment. When you're leaning, not just a little bit, but when you're leaning completely on God, that's what this piece is. It's God's gift of wholeness in your life. This is a peace of mind or well-being of a person because of the wholeness or completeness that we have in God. So, and for the Christian, this translates to inner contentment from an understanding of your completeness in Christ. And when you get to this point in your spiritual life, you have an understanding. You've come to the conclusion and the reality that you need absolutely nothing. I could say that one every Sunday too. You need absolutely nothing. You didn't know it, did you? You could give me 10 pages of what you need. But remember, if we include God's timing in this, His will, your ability to grow spiritually, we don't need anything. There's nothing we need. And if we live our life that way, that's Thanksgiving. That's another way to be thankful in life. It goes back to you don't need anything. You don't. Even though you think you may, you could write a few paragraphs on why you need it and why it's so important. God's doing it for a reason. A reason. If you're in tune with that, maybe you'll realize that you do need it. I'm talking about what you have now, not what you thought you needed. You need what God has given you right now. And you actually need it for an extended period, unfortunately, because we just want out. We want something new. We want the pain's too bad, so I want the better. No, God needs to burn, put the fire under you because you need to get moving. Or He's trying to get you to apply the Word. He knows you can. What are you waiting on? That's why things intensify in our lives, because your spiritual growth is intensified, or you've fallen off the wagon. One of the two. Only you know that answer. Whether it's discipline or whether it's intensified because you're serving the Lord in the way that you should. Those are the only two reasons you have problems. That's it. There's no in between. There's no gray area there. That God doesn't just play with you. Just no. It's growth or discipline to get you back on track. Now, figure out where you're having the pressure at in your life and say, is that from something I needed to do? Or is it something that I just need to realize and give God in faith? Do I need to get back on track? Or is this a spiritual issue? Do I just need to start moving in the spiritual life? Because there's no in between. There's none. So being complete in Christ means a life minus worry. But guess what? Each one of you have to come to that conclusion individually. You have to come to that conclusion individually. This isn't a collective thing. If it was collective, that wouldn't be... I mean, that would be awesome, but that's not how it works. You're growing at different levels. Each one of you are applying, hearing different things, taking things one way. I mean, you're all different. So this is something that you have to come to on your own. That's why before verse 7, we have two commands: to be anxious for nothing, and then let your requests be made known to God. I've been trying to give you the solution over and over, and I think I've given you multiple solutions. And now we're seeing just the results in this verse. And I want that. You should want that in your life. To be a peace that surpasses even our comprehension. That's happiness. And then I'm including the thanksgiving in this command, because the verse says, make these requests known with thanksgiving. I'm including that in the command. But the point I'm making is that the commands are here. But we still have to make the conscious decision to follow through on the command. Or the imperative. God wouldn't put the command in there if He knew we couldn't just say, oh, I don't have to do that, right? No, you got to follow through. You have to do... There's a reason we have Scripture, remember? Because it's a guide. It's the canon. It's the way we live our life. We can either choose for it or we can choose against it. And that applies to us as individuals. It applies to even growing believers. It applies to believers that aren't growing. We still have to make conscious decisions every day, moment by moment, whether we are going to live in accordance to God's Word or we're not. Because we go back and forth, believe it or not. We do. It's in you. And the closer you stay to the Word of God, close. The closer you stay, that takes self-discipline, is what it does. Get serious with yourselves. We can be this and this and that. What happens when you get 80, 90 years old? Then you're going to be like, well, what was I doing? You got to die. You got to go somewhere. This is what it's made for. That's what this life is made to do. Grow up and get serious with yourself. We only got so much time. Time's a ticking. So it's one of the most powerful things that God has graced us out with is that He gave us free will to choose our own path in life and our final destination. That's power. That is power. You can either put yourself in a lake of fire or you can put yourself in heaven. That's what He gave you the option to do. Only because of Him, of course, but He still gave you the option. That's power. That's grace. That's what He's given you. He's also given us the ability to choose to be happy or to choose to be not happy. And it always amazes me how many people choose to not be happy. They choose the world, what the world has to offer, the money, the sex, the drugs, the alcohol, the people, the parties, the jobs, the everything, you name it. Go down the list. We've all been there, done that. Guess what? Where it left you? Nothing. It gave you nothing. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. It's not there. It's right here in the Word. It's where it is. So make the right decisions. How many people, you know, we have to make the right decisions. We can't keep choosing the temporary over the permanent solution that God provides. We can't do it. We'll never grow up. We'll never get off the ground. We'll keep looking to the physical, and it's not where it's at. Don't look to the physical. That should be your New Year's August resolution. To rely less on the physical and more on the spiritual in your life. Because you're packing your bags and you need to start relying on God or you're not going to pack much without faith. That's what it boils down to. So, I think we'll stop there. And pick up with this verse next time. I think we'll still be in this verse because we hadn't even got to surpasses all comprehension yet. Or guarding your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, it's only benefit. Keeps getting better. Grace, 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 grace. So, that being said, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the just the grace that we see every single day in our lives. Thank You for the understanding that You do allow us to see how You work, how Your Word works, how You have Your love is so drawing to us that it draws us in. You draw us into Your Word. You allow us to see just glimpses of it that makes us want more. And I'm so thankful for that because that's what changes our life. That's what allows us to go through life being happy, being content, and not needing anything because we don't need anything except You. Thank You for this, and we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Like a flower that shrivels in the sun and falls, the glory of man like a flower that shrivels in the sun and falls, but the world